Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season Ticket. I'm your host, Chris Gasper. It's Thursday, February 1st. We are getting closer and closer to Super Bowl 52 as both the Patriots and the Eagles are bearing down in their preparations for the big game. We wanted to get a national perspective on the matchup as well as a local perspective from here in Minnesota on hosting the big game. We're going to do both of those things today. We start with someone who has covered teams that know what it takes to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl, and who is covering the Patriots this week for NFL Network. That's Kim Jones. Kim, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys, and congratulations on hiring Tara Sullivan, who has been my good friend. We were on the Giants beat together way back when. We have many stories that I won't give you right now.
Because we want all the embarrassing stories. Yes, go right ahead, Kim. Go right ahead.
You know what? I probably have more embarrassing ones. Tara's like the level-headed one you go to for guidance. I'm the one who's an idiot. But she's great. You guys will love working with her, and I'm really proud of her.
We already do, I would say, definitely the best mid-season acquisition
there you go.
In New England football. Yeah. This year,
and after
Sullivan.
The trade deadline.
That's
so you
right.
guys worked that in.
Yeah.
Good job. Good
we
job.
Worked a little magic.
Scott here worked that out, right?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Scott Thurston, producer of Season Ticket and assistant sports editor at the Boston Globe with us as well. Kim, I want to ask you, because you referenced the Giants, and I think everybody's saying this week that if the Eagles are going to beat the Patriots in Super Bowl 52, it's going to be that Giants blueprint, really from Super Bowl 42, when it was just the pass rush that overwhelmed Tom Brady and what was at the time the highest scoring offense in NFL history. Do you buy that parallel when
yes.
you look at the personnel of the Eagles and those Giants teams?
I do. And it's A-gap pressure mostly. Now, listen, are you going to turn down an Osei Umenyiora around the end, getting the strip sack? Of course not. But that's been the book on Brady. But it's obviously not an easy book to master. He's smart. He's going to counter it. The Patriots are going to counter it. Josh McDaniels is going to adjust his play calling as he goes along to counter what the Eagles do. We know that. The Eagles do come at you in waves. But I do think that is their only chance with that defense. To me, the Eagles' defense isn't great. To me, the Eagles' front is great. And their chances to really disrupt Brady, make him uncomfortable, make him think about, even if he just has to think for a minute about, taking the really big hit or, I don't think the hand's going to be an issue. But last week, for example, it could have been against the Jaguars if they had been able to take advantage of that. But you need to take advantage of everything, and that, to me, is the one way the Eagles do this.
And you hit on it, too. You said the A gaps.
Yep.
I mean, it has to come up the middle, those gaps between the center and each of the guards, because when you bring it off the edges against Tom, he steps up in the pocket or he finds a way or it doesn't get there fast
He's
enough.
He's too smart and too fast. And I'm not saying speed fast. You know what I mean. He's too
mentally
fast with the release. He's too fast figuring it out, and he'll get the ball to someone. Is anyone going to be surprised if Deion Lewis could be the MVP of this game? Of course not. James White, maybe should have been last year.
Absolutely.
Shane Vereen changed the game against Seattle. So there is going to be a way against this fast Eagles defense that they not only go in with a game plan, but that they adjust when they have to. And that's why I think the Patriots win the game.
Yeah, and that's the hallmark of the Patriots, yeah. being able to adjust like that. And obviously you mentioned what the Eagles need to do. When you look at the Eagles defense, you said they have a great front. They're not a great defense. What's the weakness of that Eagles defense?
Well, the corners aren't great. Now, listen, have they played better than people thought, including myself, after seeing them in training camp and knowing the personnel? Yeah, they have. They've played better. But to me, this is what happens in the NFL season, and you know this, Chris. Confidence starts. They beat the Giants, who were awful. I'm not going to defend the Giants here. But they beat the Giants in week 3 on a 61-yard field goal. Almost certainly changed both teams' seasons. The Giants at 1-2 might actually feel like they have a chance. The Eagles beating the Giants, sending them to 0-3, the Giants were cooked. They were done. And the Eagles felt like they could win those kinds of games, and then they went on and did it. But I think the other players, especially in the secondary, have played better as their season's gone along, and they've gained confidence. And listen, the best way to help a defensive back core, as you know, is with a great front.
Absolutely.
That's how they've gotten this done. I give Jim Schwartz an awful lot of credit.
Yeah, he's done a great job, and a Bill Belichick disciple. He
yep.
was with Bill in Cleveland. He's done a fantastic job remaking that defense the last couple of seasons. I want to get a national perspective on the Patriots, because I think that locally people look at it and feel like you can just throw any old players out there and Bill will sort of figure it out. But when I look at this Patriots defense, I think they're more susceptible than they've been in the past. Certainly they're a lot better than they were in their first 4 games of the season, but they don't have a great pass rush. Without Dante Hightower, the linebackers are run-of-the-mill, I think I would say. The secondary, I think, is strong. But overall, this is not the greatest defense. And is this the game where that catches up to them, where there's just not enough talent for Bill to cover it up?
I hear what you're saying, but then Stephon Gilmore, you know, has his arm grow 6 inches and tips away a ball that, like, the body control on that and the ability to get there to that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the things that us mortals can't even imagine doing, right? So, you know, I don't know that it would come down to talent. To me, it might come down to if Nick Foles is the quarterback he's been in the playoffs, which is a different quarter. I know he had a 7-touchdown game. I understand that his cleats or gloves or whatever it is are in the Hall of Fame because of that. I get that part. But Nick Foles, for what, 6 years, was a pedestrian quarterback.
Yes.
The last 2 games, he's been a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Been tremendous.
Can he do that? Can he complete that number of balls against the defense that is going to try to outwit him and very well may? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, my question is, can he do that if he doesn't get all those chunk plays that he got against Minnesota? I mean, those big plays were huge. You know, his completion percentage is great in the postseason. It's 77.8, but he hasn't had to do the sort of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, methodical, like surgical drives. Yeah. It's been a lot of big chunk plays, which is a credit to Doug Peterson.
It is, and it's a credit. Yes, it absolutely is. And the play calling and the execution there, terrific. And that you make a really good point, because the one thing this Patriots defense has emphasized the times I've talked to them, whether it's against LeSean McCoy, Derrick Henry, obviously Leonard Fournette, any of the speed guys that, you know, you could go on and name forever in this league, is rallying to the ball. And I thought they did that very well, particularly in the second half against Fournette. Listen, when he's going to, you know, when they're going to call a 1 yard dive up the middle, essentially, on every 1st and 10, that helps the cause. But I just think that the Patriots and their commitment to outwork you, to out-hustle you, and to out-execute you has to prevent some of the stuff we saw. That, to me, looked like a Vikings defense that we would call middling last week.
And they were the best defense in the league, statistically speaking. Yeah,
so how much of that is what the Eagles made them look like? You know, maybe 50%, maybe you want to go to 60%, but some of that was the Vikings defense simply not playing very well.
Yeah, they definitely didn't bring their A game in that NFC championship. There's no question about that. You're covering the Patriots this week. You've been around the Patriots. What's the vibe that you get from them this week as they pursue that 6th Super Bowl, and also as they face a team that they haven't faced? They didn't play the Eagles in the regular season. And this offense, it's the RPOs, the run-pass option stuff. It didn't go so well the last time they faced that in the regular season when it was the Kansas City Chiefs in the season opener. They got gashed by that stuff.
They did, but they've been so much better since, as you know, Chris, right? I mean, just so much better. So I do think that game helped them. It helped them improve. I think they were embarrassed. That's my word, not theirs, but I think they had to have been embarrassed by the way the Chiefs were able to do that. It would shock me if the Eagles do that on Sunday. It would shock me. But being around the Patriots, you know, they have the whole hashtag not done. They have the network, everything else. You know, I almost, like, not a hashtag, but I mean, we belong is the way I look at it. They are so comfortable in this setting, and for very good reason. But yesterday, you know, I bounced kind of between Deion Lewis and James White's podiums, and they're very, very conversational. You want to tell me they're not giving you bumper sticker material, they're not, you know, blowing up the Eagles with rhetoric. I get all of that. But if you ask football questions, and I mostly heard football questions yesterday, they give really good answers, sound answers. Do they give away the game plan? No. But very few teams in this league do. The Patriots kind of get a bad rap for, no one says anything. That's not true. I've not found that to be true there. I never have trouble filling my notebook for whether it's daily reporting or Sunday reporting when I'm around the Patriots. But I just think they are so, so comfortable. This game is one that they almost have on their schedule, right?
It's a great
Other
point.
Teams
yeah.
say, like, man, can we get there? Can we make the playoffs? What can we do? Oh, we could get a first round bye. Oh, my God, we have a first round bye. Yeah. The Patriots say, like, when's the Super Bowl? Because we're, you know, half the time with Brady, in Brady's full seasons of 16, half the time they get there. No one bats 500, Chris. No one.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They
it's
bat
a great
500
point.
With Tom Brady. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's a great advantage for the Patriots. Certainly continuity. Yeah. Continuity with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the coaching staff. That's going to go away a little bit, though. The expectation is this will be the final game with Matt Patricia as defensive coordinator and Josh McDaniels as offensive coordinator. Have you sensed any sort of wistfulness about this being the last run for the group in terms of the coaching staff? We've sensed that sort of throughout the postseason. This feels a little bit like the last ride.
I think that's a good point, too. A really good point, the last ride. I think you sense it by what you see, not what you hear. At least in my case, I'm not as close to it as you guys are at the Globe and the local reporters in Foxborough and Boston. But I think just Bill's reaction where he caught himself, but that real reaction with Patricia, the fact that Bill even the other day, maybe it was the first time he talked to the media here, you know, reflected briefly on that AFC Championship game and what a great win it was playing from behind and everything else. So I think that you do sense it a little bit, but from players, they do a great job, blinders on, Eagles are the focus. And, you know, did Daron Harmon miss Logan Ryan this year? I mean, they're Rutgers guys together.
They still got the group text.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for the week of the playoff game.
Exactly. So my guess is yes.
Yeah.
But Daron Harmon's not going to stand at his locker and talk about missing Logan Ryan. That's just not how this operation operates.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's not how they operate. But I do feel like, not that you need extra motivation to win the Super Bowl, but I do think there's a wistfulness to this. Again, not that you need extra motivation, but there's, let's end this on the highest note possible.
Well, and let's be honest. What? The documentary's Tom versus Time, right?
Yeah.
Time is up on what he knows right now. It's up.
Yeah.
After Sunday, it's done. And then he, to some degree, will start over. Now, will it be in familiar settings and with familiarity around him? Of course it will. But time, no one beats time. No one beats time. And in this case, obviously, the Patriots had coordinators who were highly sought after.
Do you get any sense that time is up for the Bill Belichick-Tom Brady relationship? We had the Seth Wickersham report.
There's been
a report of, you know, some strife, some tension. Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, has not denied that there is tension, even though he has come out and denied aspects of that story. Do you get the sense that that's a relationship that is near the end, or is this just, you know, relationships have peaks and valleys, and this might be a little bit of a valley?
Well, I think all relationships, and we're just going to talk like football relationships, coach, player, you know, listen, I saw a lot of that with the Giants this year. I think they all have it. I think you could go to almost every organization and write some sort of a story like that one. And I am in no way diminishing the reporting in that story or the quality of that story, not at all. But you can find that if you look for it. And they all have it. They all have strife. They all have disagreement for sure. And they should. I mean, that's what makes you better, right? But their relationship is like no other. This isn't like Ben McAdoo getting fired and Eli Manning being the most popular person to the fans in the Giants organization now. It's not anywhere close to that. Is it a little bit more like Coughlin Manning? A little bit, but it's not even, that's not even the exact comparable. And that's a couple years old now. So it's just such a unique relationship that I think my sense, my sense would be both men would have too much pride to lose it based on ego. If that makes sense.
No, it does make sense.
Pride and ego are very closely tied.
I think they both value winning too much.
Exactly.
You know, to let it go by the boards and that sort of solve. And there's been talk at the end of the season that there will be a discussion. You know, the principals will sit down and hash out whatever needs to be hashed out. If there's anything that needs to be hashed out. We don't really know the specifics. But they both value winning so much that, you know, would you walk away from what is the greatest situation, not only in the NFL, but possibly in NFL history, you know, over ego, over pride, as you said.
Well, I tweeted the other day that Odell Beckham Jr. and Pat Shurmur have met, and they found mutual understanding, mutual respect, and they both want to win. And, of course, Twitter being what it is, you know, I got a lot of like, oh, thanks, every professional athlete wants to win. Oh, thanks, we thought they wanted to lose. Well, okay, but not everyone wants to do everything possible to win.
Yeah.
And that's what I was referring to. There is a different level of wanting to win in this league. There just is. And you can see that every Sunday if you pay attention. So wanting to win, to me, is the best part of what the Patriots are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they embody. To swing it back to the game a little bit here, what are you hearing, if anything, on Rob Gronkowski?
Tuesday night I was at the event, the Xbox event. He was into it. He lost handily to LeGarrette Blount on Xbox, if anyone cares. But he was into it. He was bright-eyed. He was, you know, I'm not someone who diagnoses illnesses, including concussions.
Me
neither. But he looked great. I'd be shocked if we don't see him out there Sunday.
Do you think there's any chance that he's out there and it's like Super Bowl 46 against the Giants, where very early on the opposing team realizes he's out here, but he's not really Rob Gronkowski?
I guess there's always a chance, but I think he's Rob Gronkowski. I mean,
I agree with you,
you know,
by
I
the
think
way.
That he'll be back and he'll be Rob Gronkowski. And you know what? They're 22-8 in 30 games, including the playoffs without him. That's not quite their, you know, winning percentage with him. But they do pretty darn well when they have to compensate.
They
came back against the Jags in a game that
they
had to really overcome a lot, including his absence.
But I do think there's a tipping point when you look at, okay, so there's no Edelman. They win last year. You have Edelman on the field.
It's
you don't
amazing.
Have Gronk. You have
it's
Edelman.
Amazing.
There's no Dante Hightower. So now you're legitimately talking about if for some reason Gronk couldn't go, and he said he would play, but if something happens in practice or for some reason he can't go or he gets knocked out of the game, that's three of your top five players are out. That's tough, even for the Patriots, even for Bill Belichick. Listen, at that point. He's so important to them and what they do. Because right. even when he's, you know, not really open, he's still open. He's one of those great players.
Yeah, I mean, his whole being is immense, let alone, you know, and that plays into the catch radius. Here's my thinking on that, as an outsider.
Yes.
Unless Brian Hoyer is on the field in meaningful time, I think the Patriots can compensate over any loss that we could possibly conjure up here, barring just multiple losses that we've never seen before. That's how I think of them.
Yeah, I think that's how a lot of people in New England think of them. So it's interesting to hear the national perspective is sort of the same as the New England perspective, which is, you know, they shall overcome no matter what. Right. As long as Brady's in the game and Belichick has the headset on, like they're good to go, right? So I don't want to put words in your mouth, Kim, but I'm sensing a vibe that you like the Patriots in this game.
I do. I just do. And I don't dislike the Eagles.
Sure.
I did see the Giants play the Eagles twice, very tight. You know, it was Nick Foles' first game. I thought that was probably a very good test for Foles because the Eagles or the Giants played well that day, and he needed to play well to beat them. And I think that probably buoyed them a little in the first game without Carson and Nick Foles back as a starter. So I saw them play two gritty games. I've seen them play a couple other games, but those two gritty games against what turned out to be a bad team in the Giants. I just think that on the sideline, the Patriots have such an advantage. Belichick, McDaniels, and Patricia will adjust as they have to and will find a way in the second half.
Do you think it's going to be a close game? All the Patriots Super Bowls have been close up to this point. I mean, all seven of them, they're 5-2. They've all been really close games down to the final possession. Do you think we're in for another one of those?
I think it'll be a single-digit game.
Okay.
I don't know that I think it'll be a one-point game, but I think single-digit game. Maybe not a last-minute drive, but you know, close enough to keep us interested, and that's what I hope for.
Okay, well, that sounds good. So a lot of great info there. The great Kim Jones of NFL Network. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me very much.
All right, we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket. When we come back, we're going to shift gears a bit and hear from the new Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Fry. Mayor Fry is going to tell us what it's like to host the Super Bowl. He's also going to give us his take on a viral video he made welcoming Patriots and Eagles fans to his city. You're going to want to listen to that. Welcome back. If you like Season Tickets, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it becomes available. All right, now we turn to Season Ticket producer Josh Schwartz. He went over to City Hall in Minneapolis to talk to Mayor Jacob Fry.
My name is Jacob Fry. I'm the mayor of Minneapolis, and we're in the mayor's office.
So, Mayor Fry, you have been mayor for less than a month. And not many people in their first month have to prepare for an event as huge as the Super Bowl. How has that gone, and how have you been adjusting to the job so far?
Well, I'm working like a dog right now, but I'm having an absolute ball. You know, this is my dream job, representing the best city in the whole world, and so I just need to make sure to do it well. And so we've, you know, hired out our staff and working with the different departments and entities in the city to make sure that this is a world-class party that we're throwing.
Have there been any unexpected parts in hosting the Super Bowl so far?
I mean, the Super Bowl, by its very nature, is not an unexpected festival. Most aspects are planned out months and often years in advance. You know, really the biggest thing right now is that it's an opportunity to highlight that which sets Minneapolis apart. We're known to be, you know, the most active and healthy city in the entire country. We've got a community that doesn't just accept the cold and the winter, but embraces it. So no, it's a great opportunity to show the world what Minneapolis is all about.
So the star quarterback, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady, is 4 years older than you. How does that make you feel?
Well, everything these days makes me feel on the young side. You know, I'm a 36-year-old mayor of an awesome city. I don't think 10 minutes go by without someone mentioning my age. Tom Brady was probably a senior in high school when I was a freshman. I joked that we were going to legalize goats in Minneapolis for the Super Bowl because of the greatest of all time status.
I think that would really endear you to the New England fan base, for sure. And do you come from a football family at all?
I almost quite the opposite. I come from a family, and my parents were both professional modern ballet dancers, believe it or not. So to the extent that football has anything in common with modern ballet, yeah. But I was a serious runner myself. My brother actually, both my brother and sister went to Boston University.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my brother played soccer there for the Terriers. My sister was an artist.
Cool.
And nonetheless, it's had a great time. It's a fun city.
All right, so I saw the video that you made welcoming Patriots and Eagles fans to your city.
Hi, I'm Jacob Fry. I'm the mayor of Minneapolis. I wanted to welcome you to Super Bowl 52. We've got it all here in Minneapolis. We've got the lakes that encircle our city. The Mississippi River runs right down the center of it. And by the way, when you're at the Mississippi River, make sure to check out the Stone Arch Bridge. It's absolutely miraculous. We in Minneapolis, we embrace the winter in a big way. So it doesn't matter if it's negative 10, negative 20, or 32 degrees outside. We're outside having a ball. A big welcome to the New England Patriot and Philadelphia Eagles fans. For the Eagles fans, don't worry. We're going to be greasing all the lampposts so you feel right at home. So come on out, have a great time, and make sure you come back to visit us again. Are we seriously welcoming the Eagles fans?
It's become very popular amongst Patriots fans and maybe more unpopular for Eagles fans.
Is that the Patriots fan like it? That's funny.
Oh, yeah, they love it. How did the idea for the outtake come about and just the idea for the whole video?
Well, I was just saying what everybody else in Minnesota was thinking. I mean, obviously, you know, we're welcoming everyone, regardless of whether you're from New England or Philadelphia or Tampa Bay, you name it. But I had to get that jab in there.
Eagles fans have a reputation for being a little destructive, whether their team wins or loses. Are you at all concerned about that?
No. I mean, I have full faith that both New England fans and Philadelphia fans are going to come here for an awesome game, enjoy a spectacular party, and we hope they come back again, by the way.
Do you remember the last time the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis?
I do. Yeah, I mean, I watched the game for sure.
Do you remember the halftime show at all?
Dorothy Hamill. I remember Brian Boitano, the skating on Teflon. Yeah, I mean, to say that it was cheesy would be like a gigantic, would be the understatement of the century.
Hi, everybody!
Come on and feel the cold.
Come to Minnesota where winter's the hottest time of the year.
It's winter magic. Feel the cold.
Well, I think Justin Timberlake is going to take it up a notch, and we'll see a little bit of redemption from our last experience.
That'll be good for the city, yeah. City of Minneapolis.
Brian Boitano, Justin Timberlake, nothing against Brian Boitano.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we proudly salute the 1992 Winter Olympics as we welcome Olympic gold medalists Dorothy Hamill, Brian Boitano, and team captain Mike Garuzzioni, with members of the 1980 Olympic gold medal hockey team.
Last question. You spent time in Boston, obviously running the Boston Marathon. You went to Villanova, and you've gotten to know Eagles fans a little bit from that context. What have you noticed from the two fan bases, from those experiences, and also just in the past few days here?
I'd pick a Boston fan any day of the week over a Philly fan.
For what reason?
I don't know. I don't remember the last time a Boston fan threw a full container of beer. Well, you know, let me take a step back. I've got good friends in Philadelphia. I've got good friends in Boston. Just to be very clear, we're welcoming everybody. You know, in Minneapolis, you know, it's about sportsmanship. It's about, you know, taking the high road 100% of the time. And we welcome the Eagles fans. We welcome the New England fans. And that's in all seriousness. You know, the joking aside.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time.
You got to include that,
though. I will.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
That was Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry speaking to our Josh Schwartz. We thank him for joining us here on Season Ticket. Well, that's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Chris Gasper. We'll be back tomorrow with more from Minnesota in Super Bowl 52.